Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 289th ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel and recording from the MSP Studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Doing great today, Cameron. How about you?
I'm doing great, mostly because of the thing I want to talk about first.
Wow. Okay.
We're going to do
it. Must be big.
It's an intro segment.
Okay.
It is Konzo Martin has been hired as the Missouri State basketball head coach. Was it last week that we discussed this as a possibility or 2 weeks
ago? 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
You're really kicking off a Mizzou podcast with Missouri State news.
It's the intro segment.
It's related.
It's in the intro.
Tangentially related.
Yes. Konzo's back, folks.
He's back.
Back into coaching, back at Missouri State, here in Springfield.
I think we'll see him around town.
I hope so.
See him out in the questions wild. For him.
Yeah. See if he wants to come over to the studio.
Yeah. Have him on.
I got to say, I still love Konzo.
Sure.
And I've said before, like, whoever is outside of one coach, whoever is the Mizzou men's basketball head coach is top five people in the world for me, whoever they are. I never felt that love for Kim Anderson, actually. But going back to Quinn Snyder, I've loved every single coach. So I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Konzo. And, you know, just the way he operated the program with integrity. You know, more wins would have been good. We've been over that before, though.
Yeah. As somebody that really has followed Missouri State basketball for a lot of my life, that, you know, Konzo's first stint here in Springfield was really probably one of the highlights of Missouri State basketball history, at least in the last probably 30, 40 years.
Yeah, in our lifetime, for sure.
I would love to see them restore the magic. And, you know, I don't know if Konzo could do that or not. He's, you know, he's a different man than he was then, but that doesn't mean that he can't bring them back to what they were.
Yeah, we were looking at pictures of him the first time around, just before we started recording. We were looking at pictures of his time at Missouri State many years ago. And yeah, definitely looks like a different person.
Yeah.
From what we remember from that time compared to his time at Mizzou, a little bit different demeanor.
Yeah.
And
he had some fire.
Yes. Everything around the program, there was an energy about it.
Yeah.
And they won the Missouri Valley regular season.
Yeah.
His last year. Mm-hmm. But didn't make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know, he obviously had a lot of success at Missouri State. They had a great program-changing player in Kyle Weems when he was here. And, you know, he went to Tennessee, didn't have a good experience there, really on and off the court, went to Cal. They were okay there. Came to Mizzou. You know what happened there. I'm excited for him to maybe get back to a place that he was personally successful. Mm-hmm. And maybe that will kind of relight the fire, his love for coaching maybe a little bit. I think we'll have to go check out a few games.
Absolutely. Yeah. Full disclosure, we absolutely did not think this was actually going to happen. But we just reverse jinxed it 2 weeks ago and made it happen.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, this is the AD at Missouri State that I've publicly criticized on this podcast before, and also the same one that hired Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
So I guess nothing is really all that surprising for this guy.
That's true. That's true.
Was Bobby Petrino a good hire?
Actually, I guess they were
on the field. They did win games. He was able to attract talent in the the guys that wanted to drop down a level and play for, I guess I would consider him a legendary coach.
Yeah.
Well, that was the game we went to see him was the only football game I went to in the last
That's true.
15 years.
Yep. And now here we are excited to go see Missouri State basketball once again. So maybe he knows what he's doing, Kyle.
Maybe, but he's going to have to start recruiting soon.
That's true. Now, that's one thing. He better stay away from Columbia. Don't pick now to start recruiting Columbia, Missouri.
Ooh.
And
oof.
Stay away from Link Prep down there in Branson.
Stay away from the Porter brothers.
Hey, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Hey, perfect segue. What all are we going to talk about this episode? Actually, we are going to talk about Jontay Porter. We're going to talk about the Mizzou basketball transfer portal. And we'll just talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament so far, some of the highlights from that. Before we get into all that, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, leave us a review wherever you listen to us. And of course, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MissouriSportsPod. Producer Cameron set us up for that one. So yeah, Jontay Porter in the news, name from Mizzou past. And
didn't have this one on my bingo card.
No. If anybody out there that's listening to this doesn't know why we'd be talking about Jontay Porter, I'm going to read you a little bit of this ESPN.com article just to get everybody up to speed. The title is Sources: NBA Eyes Raptors Jontay Porter for Betting Issues. Toronto Raptors forward Jontay Porter is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, multiple sources told ESPN on Monday. At issue are prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th, multiple sources told ESPN. In a game on January 26th against the LA Clippers, there was an increased betting interest on under props for Jontay Porter, which for the night were set at around 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter made three-pointers at 0.5. That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game with what Raptors said was an aggravated eye injury that he had suffered 4 days earlier. Porter did not score against the Clippers, but had 3 rebounds and 1 assist. He did not attempt a three, meaning the under hit on all the props. The next day, as part of a daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on Porter three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props for games that evening. So this is getting a little suspicious. Porter played 19 minutes 2 days later, scored 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. On March 20th against the Sacramento Kings, Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting because of what the Raptors said was an illness and did not return. He did not score after attempting one shot and had 2 rebounds. Sportsbooks had his over-under set at around 5.5 points, 5.5 rebounds. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbooks reported in a media release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. So there's more to this article. It kind of goes into his backstory a little bit, but that is the gist of it. That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have the irregularity of it. Like, not only, you know, people just making bets on, you know, Jontay Porter, which is pretty random. He's kind of very much a secondary player, but like bets that are like 10 times the amount of like a normal prop bet size. So people just literally making like max bets on something so random, specifically unders, and then like something really like strange happening to where he has to leave the game and all the unders hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, obviously we have no idea if they're actually correlated or if there was like some kind of organized something going on, but it looks weird. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It looks bad. Yeah. I was trying to think of like, okay, like best case scenario, I don't know. Like, for his sake, you got to hope that there's some deniability here, because to some extent, it's like, how can you prove this exactly, that he would actually be involved with like tipping people off, that he's going to, and then like intentionally leave the game early and say his eye hurt or whatever. I mean, that's like worst case scenario.
Yeah,
he is like telling people, I'm going to get out of this game early.
Yeah. And but it's also like, you know, Jontay Porter, he's a young player who was fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah.
He really hasn't played much in his career. Finally getting a chance. Like, why would he, you know, risk an opportunity to play just to help somebody else hit their bet? Like why, you know?
And it's not like, I mean, we are familiar with the Porter family. It's not like they're hurting for money. I mean, just, we know that. So It's not like he's personally looking to profit. I wouldn't imagine he's personally looking to profit because, you know, his NBA career probably isn't going to be very long, or, you know, he's not looking at a max contract coming up and he needs to, like, be sending money home to his family. That's not really the situation, I don't think. But a random person on Twitter brought up the fact that Jonte is involved in day trading / crypto speculation to some extent. And I was aware of that. Like, between his time at Mizzou and getting picked up on an NBA roster, he, like, started a company where he was trying to coach people through stock trades and stuff like that. And so, but this random person on Twitter was showing screenshots of a Jonte run Discord server where they're making stocks plays and stuff. And obviously, I mean, we talked about, like, GameStop on this podcast when that was going crazy. I mean, everybody was in, you know, checking their Robinhood account every 10 minutes back in, like, 2000 and, like, 2021. Mm-hmm. Jonte had some people that were doing that too. That is, like, not very related to sports betting. And that was several years ago when he was not in the NBA. But I don't know, if you're in some circles of people that are trying to, you know, day trade and find stocks that are being short sold and stuff like that, I mean, you're dealing with some folks that are trying to make a quick buck.
It's definitely gambling adjacent.
Yes, of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's not ideal. I'm hoping that this can just be like a lesson learned. This looks bad, but we have no way to prove anything. So let's just
move on.
Keep your nose clean and we'll forget about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if anything else comes out with this.
Yes, not ideal for sure. Getting into some more directly related to Mizzou type of news. Mizzou basketball is hot and heavy in the transfer portal. I've got some names that Mizzou has confirmed to have reached out to. Also, Kurt Lewis announced he's transferring out of the program. It'll be interesting to see if he follows Smith Peters to where was he headed?
Southern Illinois.
Yeah,
I think he actually going there, or is he just like was he just rumored? I don't think he's actually left Mizzou.
Is that the case?
I don't know. You just had it in your head. Already.
Yeah, in my head, he was like absolutely gone.
I don't think he has left.
I think you're right.
But he might. He's been rumored to be looking at several different jobs, head coaching positions maybe.
Yeah, I just see him on a short list for, Southern Illinois.
I think he was actually linked to the Missouri State opening a little bit too.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, forget that part. Kurt Lewis out of the program. Smith Peters still in, apparently.
Hey, you might have another prediction coming down
that's,
for you.
That's what we do. Okay, so that means Carolero Martin and Mibor Majak, and now Kurt Lewis, players who had eligibility remaining that will not be returning to Mizzou. And I've got a few players here that Missouri has reached out to. Probably too many names, honestly, but we'll go through them real quick and maybe pick some of our favorites who we'd like to see potentially and maybe who is most likely. First guy I have here is Furman transfer guard J.P. Pegues. It's French.
Another one of those, huh?
Yeah. He has reported contact from Mizzou. 6'1 point guard. He was number 4 in the KenPom Player of the Year rankings for the Southern Conference this past season, averaged 18 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 1.2 steals per game, shot 36% from 3 on 218 attempts. He's originally from Nashville. He is like a prototypical like pick and roll ball handler, floor general, and he shoots a ton of threes. 1 year of eligibility remaining. Definitely seems like there's a hole on next year's roster as of right now at point guard. And so kind of a floor general who shoots a lot of threes makes a lot of sense to me.
Going to have a lot of suitors.
Yes.
You'll probably say that about almost every single name you're going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, the when I'm seeing tweets that say Missouri has contacted, it's like along with 20 other schools, and Arkansas is always there.
Arkansas and Auburn, I feel like they're on. I've also noticed a random trend. Some of these transfers committing to schools that are still in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Like I saw Gonzaga landed somebody the other day.
One of the Pepperdine guys. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess you got enough people
coaches
on staff.
Coaches are busy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little break between games here.
They just have the NIL guys recruiting. Like, coaches like, hey, coach, we got somebody.
Yeah, exactly. The head of the NIL collective. Yeah. Next guy I have here is Iona transfer guard Greg Gordon. 6'5 guard, played two seasons at junior college before this past season at Iona, averaged 16 points per game on 55% shooting, 7.3 rebounds per game. So bigger guard, originally from Chicago, so probably a connection there to Coach Gates. He did leave Iona in February for personal reasons. He has 1 year of eligibility, but like I said, a bigger guard, good rebounder, and not as much of a three-point shooter. I don't know how much a wing makes sense at this point, depending on the future of Caleb Grill and John Tanjay. But Missouri has reached out.
And Tamar Bates, who I feel like he could kind of group into that category.
Yeah. Guys who kind of like off-ball wing guard forward type. Yeah.
And Jacob Cruz.
Four
guys that are all kind of like in that similar mold.
Mm-hmm. Next guy I have is George Mason transfer Keyshawn Hall. He is listed at 6'7", 230, but is a guard, has guard skills, dribbling and finishing, very versatile on offense, gets to the free throw line, shot 50% from two and 35% from three, double digit rebounds 10 times last year. 2 years of eligibility. He is originally from Cleveland and was offered by Coach Gates at Cleveland State. And he also was fourth in the KenPom Player of the Year ratings for the Atlantic 10 conference. So these are guys mostly who were tearing it up at mid-major, at the mid-major level, looking to make the jump. Next guy is Fairleigh Dickinson transfer Ansley Almanor. 6'7", 219, played like stretch five, basically, for Fairleigh Dickinson. Shot 38% from three on 221 attempts. He has 1 year of eligibility. I feel like they're still chasing, and I like Jacob Cruz kind of fits this mold, but I feel like they're chasing what they wanted Noah Carter to be this past season, which is a good thing to look for, I think. I've got a big man on the list, Chattanooga transfer Sam Alexis, 6'9", 230, shot 60% from two on over 200 attempts, 10-plus rebounds in 13 games last year. A good shot blocker. He is originally from the Orlando, Florida area, has 2 years of eligibility.
I believe I saw he announced visits and Missouri was not included.
Oh.
Just like literally a few hours before we started recording.
Forget about him now.
He's gone.
Yeah. Put it out of your mind. Next guy I have is Drake transfer Kevin Overton, 6'5 wing, started every game for Drake this past season as a true freshman, shot 34% from three and 57% from two. He is like your prototypical low turnover, high efficiency wing. He has 3 years of eligibility left, originally from Oklahoma City.
Kinfolk is on the move.
That's true. Where's he headed?
We're not related. Darian DeVries and his son Tucker DeVries are going to West Virginia. He's going to be the head coach at West Virginia.
That's right.
Taking over for Bobby Huggins.
You're going to get like a cease and desist letter. We're going to get one saying, don't say we're related. you're not getting any of this West Virginia money.
Oh, it was worth a shot.
Yeah.
Any of this West Virginia money.
So probably
Drake's going to have to, they're going to be a little bit different team next year. Sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. Next guy I have is again, though, the 6'5 wing who still has 3 years of eligibility. Feels like Missouri has a lot going on in that part of the lineup. Next guy, South Dakota State point guard Zeke Mayo has heard from Mizzou. You might just write this guy off completely. He is originally from Lawrence, Kansas. So if,
where is he transferring from?
From South Dakota State.
Okay.
Spent 3 years there. He is like a do-everything guard, shot 38% from three on 211 attempts. Do you want me to go?
Is that good. Is that a patented Cam prediction? Does that have the stamp?
I mean, yeah. I think he ends up a Jayhawk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So probably don't even worry about it.
He's not very good, sounds like.
If he comes to Mizzou, he'll be great.
Yeah.
Otherwise, don't even worry about it. Mm-mm.
Did you see the...
What?
Nope. We shouldn't talk about him on this podcast.
Okay. Forget it. Last guy I have here is Iowa transfer point guard Tony Perkins. 6'4 point guard. Averaged 14 points, 4.6 assists, 4.4 rebounds, 1.6 steals per game. He only shot 30% from three, but only attempted 77 threes, so not really a three-point sharpshooter. He did attempt 302-point field goals. That's a lot. And converted those at 47%. Gets to the free throw line, high assist rate. A couple numbers jumped out at me. In Big Ten play, he had 14 assists in a game versus Northwestern and 15 assists against Nebraska. So that's Iowa transfer Tony Perkins. All of these guys that I mentioned have reported contact from Mizzou. Guys to keep an eye on. If I was picking, of course, we still have Javon Porter and Taurus Reed, and I really like St. Louis transfer Sincere Parker. I would take Sincere Parker in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think some of those names that you're talking about are probably a little bit unrealistic for Mizzou, but because I feel like they're some of like the hottest names in the portal right now.
Yeah.
But I do think that I think Porter and Parker are both like very realistic options that I'd be very excited about that are still out there.
Yeah. And I do like the connection on a couple of these guys, though. The one that's originally from Cleveland.
Like JUCO connections if Smith Peters is still going to be on staff.
And, right. Yeah. So there's the Cleveland connection with Keyshawn Hall. There's the Chicago connection with Greg Gordon. Those probably feel like maybe a couple of the more realistic options.
Yeah.
But Missouri definitely still after a point guard. I was looking over the roster today, and I mean, at a true number one to run your offense, we've got Anthony Robinson, and that's about it. Like T.O. Barrett, that's kind of it at point guard.
That will not be who we go into the season with.
Yeah.
But there are so many people in the portal. Like there's so many names that it's a little bit overwhelming, and I'm just letting it kind of like wash over me. And just like I'm just watching. I'm just being aware of everything that's going on, but it's really, really hard to try to pinpoint down like what's going to happen. And like with Cruz, I mean, it was just like I'd never heard of the guy until it was like he's committed.
Right.
And I have a feeling that might happen at least one or two more times where we get a commitment and it's not anyone that we had on our radar at all.
And I still expect to see departures.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like there's still obviously
there's probably going to still be three or four at least.
Yeah. It's very fuzzy on like who's on scholarship because it doesn't really matter
anymore. They don't exist.
Yeah. Everybody's on scholarship or also nobody is. If everybody's on scholarship, then nobody is.
Yep.
He was not impressed.
I appreciate the reference.
Oh, thank you. I don't know where I was going with that. But there's like 13 guys that are scholarship players still associated with the program currently, if you include Grill and Tanjay.
And Caleb Brown.
And Caleb Brown. Can't forget about him. So, and that's including the freshman coming in.
What did you say earlier? He was going to average a triple-double this year.
Well, it's possible.
If he got hurt. I mean, if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, he's got that kind of build, you know? Maybe not quite a triple-double, but like 6 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists.
Oh, you were serious?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't. He'll get close.
Yeah. Okay. Is he gonna be in the team next year?
Probably not.
They gonna say goodbye to the brother?
They were ready to do it.
Yeah, they last were. Year. Kobe Brown.
I don't know
how. Lonzo Martin. Okay. Recruited Kobe Brown.
And Caleb.
I guess you're right.
Okay, come on down. We're going to have two teams to root for in basketball before this is over. You're going to have three players, though, that literally set out the entire season almost with injuries and just like, yep, come on back. We'll try it again.
I have no idea.
Ugh. It's going to be, I think it's still going to be a weird offseason.
It's murky.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. I want to talk about the NCAA tournament a little bit. You've been watching that?
I have.
I've watched more basketball in the last week than I have in the last...
Well, the whole season.
Yeah, besides Mizzou games. But the... Man, there's actually some good basketball games happening.
There are.
It's a real treat.
High scoring. Yeah. High energy.
Yeah.
Games where you don't know who's going to win.
Man, it's really something. Games that don't go the exact same way 30 times in a row. It's fun. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Our good friend Mohamed Diarra keeping it going at NC State. They're in the Sweet 16. They're about to play Marquette.
They are on a heater. I think I maybe have said that exact sentence last week. I think and it was still true.
Yes. I think he's had a double-double in both their tournament games so far.
Not a triple-double, though.
No, that's Caleb Brown territory. They upset 6-seed Texas Tech in the first round and then beat Oakland in the second round. Now they play Marquette.
Powerhouse Oakland.
Oakland. I don't remember the guy's name. Against Kentucky, he goes 10 for 20 from 3.
Have you seen that guy's like season-long like shot chart where yes. like literally every single shot is a three-pointer outside of like 4 shots all season long?
I saw a Twitter thread that posted the chart, and it's like, I want to know what happened here. Yeah. And it was this like one elbow, like free throw line elbow jumper.
And someone had a video of it?
Yes, and someone called it. Yeah. I was looking at the thread. Yeah. We probably saw the same thread.
Yes.
Somebody's like, I guarantee you that banged off the back of the rim. Sure enough. Like not even close to going in.
Yeah. Just banged off of it.
Yes. That
they beat Kentucky, though.
Yeah, that game was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He was coming off of screens, full speed, just completely leaning sideways, draining shots. They had to face guard him the entire... They were playing face guard, ball denial the entire second half. It was wild to see. And... Kentucky lost. The SEC has not looked good.
Kentucky has had an early exit like several times now, like when they're like heavy favorites in the tournament.
It was just announced today, I believe, that John Calipari is returning.
Well, you know, it's hard to overcome a $33 million buyout. But I mean, people were calling for his job last year when they lost to whoever. And I mean, a few seasons ago, they were the 2-seed and lost to 15-seed St. Peter's. Mm-hmm. So they have a little bit of a history of doing this now.
Lost in the second round last year as a 6-seed. And then, yeah, the 2-seed 2 years before. Yeah. But so I thought it was interesting. John Calipari in the post-game press conference literally was just talking about the fact that he has a bunch of freshmen and that they got nervous, and they're nervous before their first NCAA tournament game, and they're going up against a team in Oakland who is like...
has absolutely nothing to lose.
Yes. And the Oakland coach, did you see that? Where he said before their game, of all the teams in the tournament, he feels like they match up best against Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, just the ultimate calling your shot. Yes. Like, you got to assume he says that no matter what.
Probably.
But that's the way it looked. Yeah. When you're watching the game, it was like, oh, yeah, they think they're just going to be able to run this guy off screens all game long.
And they did.
Yeah.
And it worked.
But what do you make of the comments from Calipari about, like, the freshman? People were saying was like throwing him under the bus, but it felt somewhat like a realistic thing. Like,
it is, but I mean, which I'm sure that's very true, and maybe there's nothing wrong with saying that, but just seems like a weird thing to say when that's like your whole MO. It's like your whole thing. It's like recruit one and done players. And it like at this point has shown that that's the weakness, is like a lot of times they fold in big games. And so I don't know. It just kind of feels like, yeah, coach, like whose fault is that?
Yeah.
You're the one that signed him up and built this roster.
Yeah. So then I guess the response to that is just, yeah, well, what, you want me to say no to the best recruits in the country?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I just
think he mentioned something about like you got to supplement that with transfers.
That's
which
what I was about to say.
They did with Antonio Reeves and Trey Mitchell.
He was their best player.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like it's a single elimination tournament.
These kids have been playing. Yeah, these kids have been playing basketball their whole life at the highest level.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad they feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're nervous because that means this tournament still means something.
Right.
And I don't want that to change.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. And I think that's what makes it kind of just like a realistic statement from Coach Cal is like, I don't know, if these guys really want to win a national championship, they're probably going to have to stick around a couple years.
Yeah.
And get used to trying to make a March run.
Right.
And, you know, that's what the parity that we've been seeing with all the transfers and stuff is. We've talked about how there is a difference between having a team full of grown men who know. Compare that to what we've seen and heard around Creighton this tournament. I feel like Creighton is like the embodiment of our job. We are not thinking about anything other than trying to win this tournament.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, all their main guys have all been in the tournament before.
Yeah, and they've all played at Creighton for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, but
right.
Kalkbrenner for sure has played at Creighton for what seems like a very long time now.
They've looked fantastic. I've really enjoyed watching them.
They do have that little guard, though. I can't remember, like Ashford or something like that, that played at Utah State last year when Mizzou knocked them out of the tournament.
Yes. I've watched the highlights from that game
about
6 or 7 times since the tournament started.
Oh, yeah. That was absolutely... legendary game from Kobe Brown.
Yes. Mm. That reverse dunk.
You know, Konzo Martin recruited him.
That's true. Yeah. You'd say...
Mizzou.
He really set up Dennis Gates that first year. Just handing him Kobe.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I was really enjoying watching Oregon, and that Oregon-Creighton game was really good. Went in double overtime.
Cousnard.
Yes.
Patented Cam prediction.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about Cousnard getting revenge on South Carolina.
That he did.
And he, what, he scored like 30, 40 points?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he set a career high in that game. Yeah. Yeah, what else? What else? Well, one of the best games of the tournament so far was Houston versus Texas A&M. Like, Texas A&M kind of squandered that a bit. I actually tuned in late. I only watched like, I mean, I watched overtime, but like the last few minutes of regulation, Texas A&M was just all out of sorts, but somehow.
But like scoring, yes. Though, they were all out of sorts in a good way. They just were the most volatile team ever, but like hitting on like high outcome of the volatility. Yeah. Like every single time they were just like launching threes and it was going in. And I told you guys, I feel like more teams should do this when they're down by, you know, 10 points with 4 or 5 minutes to go. Like at that point, you have to start pulling out all the stops.
Mm-hmm.
Just go down in the first 10 seconds of the possession, just launch a three.
Yeah.
And that's what Texas A&M was doing, and it got them back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just feel like teams will be down by double digits with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and they're still trying to like run sets and, you know, really be patient and try to get the best shot and stuff. And I don't know, maybe...
They just run out of time.
Yeah, obviously coaches would disagree with me that that's a bad strategy. I think but
start fouling earlier.
Yeah.
That's what Texas A&M did.
Oh, you got nothing to lose. Just go down and start launching threes. And that's how you're going to get back in a game, like when there's no other way to get back into it.
Once it was close, though, like some of those possessions were the most insane thing I've ever seen. Like
so funny.
Wade Taylor just like coming down and just launching from anywhere. Like was it at the end of regulation? Where he attempted 2 shots where it felt, it's like he thought there was less than a second left on the clock, but even after the second one, there was time for a rebound.
Yeah, he shot it from like so far out.
7 seconds left. He's absolute, launching like a 40-footer.
Absolute desperation.
I watched maybe like 10 minutes of actual game time of that game, and I saw Wade Taylor twice shoot a three that went less than 10 feet away from him.
Yeah, but I also, out of his hands,
but like, I also saw him drain threes, like the most clutch threes ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Radford, just like a bowling ball, just like trucking everybody through the lane to just get a foul. And that was working as well.
Yeah.
That was like one of the most like out of control, but working. I just drive into the lane like a freaking freight train and just
incredibly entertaining.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Yes. A freight train was, on fire.
That was the game of the tournament and so far, in my opinion.
Houston will play Duke in the Sweet 16. What else has been fun? Well, my tournament darling that I put way too much stock in, Auburn, got upset by Yale in the first round. And Auburn was up double digits like in the second half. Looked like, okay, we can just kind of put this one away. Nope.
Yeah, I kind of had the game on in the background and just kind of looked up. And all of a sudden, Yale was within a couple points and Auburn just crumbled down the stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we both were kind of pretty high on Auburn and I think had
they had
going
just run
far.
Through the SEC tournament. I got some help there with some upsets, but
Broome can't do it all himself.
I guess not. The I feel like I don't know what his pro prospects are, but
probably not great.
Then I guess he's back, folks.
I hope
he's
not.
He's got another year. I really felt like they were the only challenger to UConn in that region, but we'll see what they do with San Diego State. Illinois has looked really good.
Yeah.
They made quick work of Morehead State and Duquesne, and they'll play Iowa State. I feel like Illinois beats Iowa State easy.
I think so, too.
North Carolina-Alabama should be a good game. Can Alabama redeem the SEC?
Probably not.
Is that an official prediction?
Pretty bad. Well, not specifically with that game. I just feel like the SEC in general... Like, everybody just has redeemed. They've already made that take at this point.
Yeah.
Everybody's out on the SEC.
If Alabama and Tennessee, they could theoretically both make the Final Four.
They could, and that would maybe redeem the SEC for sure.
I've enjoyed watching Caleb Love at Arizona. He's been scoring a bit. What? We don't like Caleb Love.
I'm just, you know, I'm maybe a little bit salty. That's all.
Well, yeah. The theme of this tournament is look at all these players that could have, in an alternate universe, been at Mizzou.
Look at all these players.
Look at all of them. Caleb Love, Kalkbrenner. Who was, this time last year, I wanted EK, who's on Gonzaga. Shout out to Gonzaga, knocking off the Jayhawks.
Yes, thank you.
They should have lost to Samford. Samford couldn't overcome the refs.
I really thought they were going to do it.
That blocked shot.
Yeah. They called the foul.
Yeah. I don't think that kid can even dunk. He was going up for that dunk.
That was absolutely absurd.
How did we get on that? Oh, yeah. Another player, Colorado big man. I forget
Eddie Lampkin.
Name. Eddie Lampkin.
Yeah. We almost had, everybody was saying on Twitter, we almost had... Eddie Lampkin from Colorado against the big NC State guy whose name I can't think of at the moment.
Number 30.
Yeah, which would have been an insane matchup down low between those two guys, but Colorado barely lost.
Yeah, you got him, which he's back in the transfer portal already. I don't know if you saw that. Yes.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, and he seems like he's like got really optimized the
transfer experience.
Yes.
He was playing well. He was a valuable asset to them.
You know, reach out, Coach Gates.
Yeah. Kick the tires, I guess.
What, him, like, Kalkbrenner, Caleb Love. I mean, it just felt like there for a while, every game I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah, I wanted them to go to Mizzou. let's see, anything else? That's pretty much it for the NCAA tournament. New Mexico let everybody down.
Yeah, we were probably too confident on New Mexico.
And then Clemson beats Baylor. Clemson.
That's so annoying.
Who is Clemson?
I don't know. I've never heard of any of them.
This Clemson basketball team is a 6 seed. I think everybody, including Vegas, had New Mexico beating them as the 11 seed. I can't tell you who their coach is.
No. None of their players.
I just remember that Missouri beat Clemson in the NCAA tournament in 2010.
Yeah. I thought of that.
How's
your player pool doing?
Player pool's not looking good. I went all in on Jani Broom. And I had some okay picks. The Oregon pick.
And Folly Dante.
Yes. Knocked it out of the park. Little did I know, Cousinard was just going to go crazy. I should have doubled up. The person that's leading the player pool had both of them.
That's insane.
You're in 59th.
59th place out of 114.
Yep.
How about you guys?
I don't even know. Somewhere around
Kyle is 55th.
Okay.
I'm 45th.
Okay.
Wow. We're all just being right super mid.
Right there. Who I don't even know who I'm rooting for at this point. Who's left on my team? I don't remember. Caleb Love. Part of why I'm rooting for him so hard.
Wow. I just want close games.
Kyle, certified Caleb Love hater. Wow. So who you got in the Final Four now? Do you think Illinois or San Diego State or Iowa State can beat UConn?
I don't think they will, but I think maybe on a good day, Illinois and San Diego State probably both could.
So probably got UConn over there. Houston, Duke, NC State, Marquette.
I mean, Duke has quietly played very well in the tournament, but
they
I think
Vermont and James Madison.
Yeah, I think I'll still take Houston there. You know, some people say Houston.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who says that?
People from like New York.
Oh.
They say their H is like Y's.
Oh, like huge.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. Huge Houston.
Houston.
Wow, it turned into Chalk City.
I know.
Just realizing, looking at the bracket.
Yeah, that was another take I forgot to say was like, of course, in the most flat, unpredictable season literally ever, like factually, of college basketball, we have the chalkiest tournament ever where all like the top seeds, all the favorites are winning. I think I saw at one point in the tournament, like the higher seeds were like, or the favorites or something were like 18-1 or something like that. I don't know. It's just like, of course this happens.
Yeah. Like the first round, you've got Oregon, you've got Yale, Duquesne,
Oakland.
James Madison, Oakland, NC State, Colorado, all double-digit seeds. But then the second round just goes almost completely chalk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Incredible. Wow. Well, that should mean some good matchups here in the Sweet 16. That's probably all I have for anybody. What about you?
I think so.
What about you?
Games start tomorrow.
No, nothing.
Opening day for baseball tomorrow.
Mm.
You got to watch? You still a Cardinals fan?
Yeah.
I always love the spirit, the thought of opening day, and then by like, I don't know, a weekend, I'm like, all right.
Yeah. It doesn't help that they don't make it easy to watch the games.
Sure doesn't.
But Lance Lynn, he's gonna be pitching the home opener in St. Louis.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It probably won't be very good.
No.
The Cardinals are gonna probably give up more runs than anybody.
But for nostalgia purposes, that's a way to get me a little bit interested. And I might check the box score of that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I think of it. All right. Let me get my names here. We'll wrap it up here. Special thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Ryan Demore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker Daddy, JD, Tim Keynes, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Groffalo, Brandon Hanks, Matthew Tilly, Lewis Hernandez, Joshua Jacobson, and Chuck Downfield. Thank you.
You can find this podcast on, thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Chuck. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're on Twitter, also, at Missouri Sports Pod, and you can email us at MissouriSportsPod@gmail.com.
You can find our t-shirts and stickers at our online shop, MissouriSportsPod.BigCartel.com.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week. Chuck Downfield.
Chuck Downfield. Have a sunny day.